Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 115, part one of Comic Timing. I say part one because this is at least going to be two parts, possibly three, as we're going to package all the interviews from New York Comic Con into part one here, and then part two will be released probably next week as we review the entire New York Comic Con along with Rick Gordon, Julian Lytle, Jamal Igel, and Daryl. Still considering whether or not that's going to be two parts or one, as it's about a three-hour conversation, and it might be a good idea to split that in two. We shall see. Keep yourself posted on the Facebook page, and I'll make Comic Timing forums and all that, and I'll let you know what's going to be going on with that episode. But this is indeed part one here. We're going to have all the interviews conducted in the Friday and Saturday that I was at the con in this episode, so you're going to get to hear from the likes of, amusingly enough, Julian Lytle and Daryl, they're in there as well. Plus, J.K. Woodward is in here. You've got some more of the Independence action going on, and a bunch of other stuff. I'm not going to give it all away here. Andy Nocco from MacBreak Weekly. List goes on and on. But most importantly here, I want to remind you guys that we're being sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, which you can check out at dcbservice.com. The picks for the month are as follows. Doc Macabre out of IDW is our indie pick for the month. 50% off of the retail price of $3.99, only $1.99 this month. And it's a horror book. Yeah, it's going to be coming out in December as opposed to October. But since it is October right now, we decided let's celebrate Halloween in that sense, at least. Steve Niles is the writer. Bernie Wrightson is the art. And that's why I picked this, because, well, it's freaking Bernie Wrightson, so why not? Green Lantern Larfleet's Christmas Special number one is the actual Christmas pick this month. 50% off of retail yet again, $1.99, regular price of $3.99. This one's written by Jeff Johns, and it involves Larfleeze going absolutely crazy on Christmas. So, of course, there's going to be fun involved. Art by Brett Booth on this, and cover by Gene Ha. So, yee-haw. And, yeah, that was the worst pun I've ever made in my life. Heroes for Hire, number one, is our Marvel pick. 50% off of the regular price of $3.99, DCB price of $1.99. Adnan and Lanning start up a new series for Marvel that is not a space series. So let's see how they do with the Heroes for Hire here. Yet again, 50% off for $1.99. Make sure to use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service. DCBService.com for all of your comic book needs. You won't get them cheaper anywhere else on the internet. That is a guarantee. And check out InStock Trades, too, InStockTrades.com, the sister site. So without further ado, and yes, I say ado, not ado, we will get into the interviews here. And yet again, every interview held at the Friday and Saturday that I was there is on this episode, and then we will wrap up the New York Comic Con next episode. So go ahead and check that out, and let me know what you guys think. All right, folks, I've been here less than an hour, and already I got me my first interview here at New York Comic Con. Why don't you introduce yourself to the crowd out there?
Sure. My name is Derek Bacharach, and I'm the owner of the website SimplySuperheroes.com.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about Simply Superheroes. What is your main focus?
Well, our main focus, we're an e-commerce website. We sell superhero merchandise, licensed merchandise for kids and moms and dads. It's very kid-focused. We have a library of articles, resources, and videos. We have actually over 400 videos to watch.
Oh, wow.
Full episodes of past TV shows that you yourself might have watched when you were a kid that brings back memories. And what we hope is that those parents that see the episodes they used to watch as a kid will say, hey, bring their little son or daughter over, or nephew or niece, say, this is what I used to watch as a kid. This got me into watching my favorite superhero.
Very nice. Yeah. How far does the library range? I mean, does it go 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s?
Actually, in terms of time period, we were able to embed videos from the 1940s serials of Batman.
Oh, fantastic.
The original Superman videos, serials, up to very recent, up to stuff from Superhero Squad, as well as all the trailers that come out. So just to keep people abreast of everything that's going on. So it's about seven decades. We did the math.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, when you came up to my booth originally, I mean, the question that you asked me was, how do you get kids into comic books? And this it's a difficult question to ask, really. I mean, we've gone through it multiple times on the show before, and there's never a definitive answer, because it really all depends on, what your parents' background is.
Yes.
What your friends are into even growing up. That could all factor into it.
Yeah, like my dad, he grew up... my dad, he's 80 years old, and he used to do newspaper delivery as a boy, and he used to read the comics, and he used to deliver also. He read Superman as a boy.
Uh-huh.
And so that sort of legitimized to get me into comic books. And my dad, as I mentioned before, he's an English professor, retired English professor. He got me into comic books by getting the classics. I can still remember the cover of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, nice.
As a kid, reading the comic book as opposed to the novel, because I wasn't ready to read the novel.
Right.
So it's another way, it's like another avenue to get into reading other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they call it graphic novels now, but it's a great, what I think is, and I'm thinking about this as you were saying before, I think that before, back in the day, kids got into superheroes from comic books that led to other things of a superhero. They wanted to like them a lot.
Right.
And now I think it's taking the reverse step, where they get into superheroes from other areas, obviously media, TV, et cetera.
Movies, stuff like that.
And then they come into the comic books, because they'll read anything, get involved in anything of their favorite superhero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've gotten emails from parents whose their kids loves Batman, where they won't even respond to their real name anymore unless you call them Batman.
Yeah.
And they'll turn their head.
Well, and there's a lot of great media out there for Batman in particular, because, I mean...
Oh, it's all over the place. Batman is actually king for kids.
Oh, no question, yeah.
And it used to be Spider-Man because of all the movies, but I'm sure when the next Spider-Man movie comes out, it'll be king again.
You know, I'll be curious about that, because they originally said that they were going to be going towards more like an Ultimate Spider-Man take on it, and yet now they just hire two 20-year-olds again to play it, and I'm wondering, so is it still going to be, is it actually going to be Spider-Man 4, or is it a reboot? Make up your mind.
It's going to be. It's. They're going to bring it to teenagers. I try to keep up with all the things going on with the superheroes from different websites online.
Right.
And even with that, it's probably going to be going back to him as a teenager, trying to redo that. That's going to happen. I don't know what they're going to do next, but that's what they're going to try to do now.
It's going to be a difficult question to answer. I mean, really, we won't know until we actually see it.
And who knows? You might get a whole new generation of kids liking Spider-Man from the movie. Right.
Yeah.
Or even with the new Broadway musical.
And the
Turn Off the Dark.
And the Avengers cartoon as well coming out.
Yes.
I think is a great way to get into it. I mean, yes, sure, you might not have the X-Men or Spider-Man in it, because that's different, different licenses, but you'll still have Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, all these major ones. I mean, they even got a voice. I heard one of the shorts they put out. The voice they got for Iron Man is dead on for Robert Downey Jr.
So, that's great.
Yeah, so I mean, really, they're already going for a personality that's very similar to the actual movies out there that people might be familiar with.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
It's good things. So apparel wise, what do you have on the site exactly?
Well, we have we sell a lot of T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We have right now we're selling Halloween costumes pretty fast.
Okay.
We have a lot of stuff for Christmas, and we also sell Star Wars stuff too.
Cool.
Like R2-D2 Christmas lights, Batman head Christmas lights, a lot of fun stuff. We also sell accessories like Batman rain boots, Batman raincoats.
Okay.
We also sell easy to read, like those I can read books of superheroes.
Okay.
We also have school supplies, and one of our biggest bestsellers are Superhero Squad party supplies.
Huh. Okay.
It's probably the fastest selling product we have, because they were such in high demand, because Superhero Squad is amazing in a sense that no one expected it to be as popular as it is.
Oh,
and
sure.
The kids that are the kids of the parents who are shopping at my website. Mm-hmm. Those kids. That's my. Those kids are gaga over Superhero Squad.
Well, it's weird how that turned out as well, because when it first came out, I thought, well, these are cute, but are adults going to buy them or are kids going to buy them?
Right, but I think the dialogue has helped, because it has some funny stuff that, the way movies are nowadays.
Right.
Where they have adult humor and kids humor at the same time.
Sure, when I was watching Animaniacs as a kid, I mean, I'd laugh at some jokes and my parents would laugh at other jokes, because, I mean, what am I going to know about Gilbert and Sullivan growing
up?
Exactly. But they immediately got it.
Yes, The Simpsons, it's been on for a while. I think maybe the first original Toy Story movie they made adult humor, they added in there.
Right.
And it's done wonders to appeal to both kids and adults, because as an adult, you watch, if you're watching a cartoon movie, you think boring, but it's actually kind of fun.
Oh, no question, especially with the Pixar stuff.
I mean,
you can watch it at any single age. page, and you'll be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It's great content.
How long has the website been around, out of curiosity?
It's been around for about almost 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we get we're getting customers from all over the world. Australia is pretty popular with superheroes.
Okay.
You know, all over Great Britain,
cool.
Canada. Europe, Japan.
It's good that you ship everywhere because a lot of places just centralize.
That's right. Yeah. We definitely do that. And it's we give a lot of good offers. Like, you know, you buy $25 worth of merchandise, we give you free shipping in the United States.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very
so cool. we don't want to try to rip people off. We don't try to host people in terms of the price of items. we just want to stay afloat and hopefully just pass the word that we're here to stay.
Very cool. And all kids merchandise, no adults or just...
We do. We're actually offering men stuff. Like, for example, when Father's Day was around, we had Super Dad t-shirts.
Okay.
We're going to have Super Mom and Super Kid t-shirts too soon.
Sweet.
Moms, the thing for moms is Wonder Woman, so we have a lot of the mm-hmm. junior or the baby t-shirts for them. But we're going to expand more on apparel for men and women in the future.
Yeah, let's see how Wonder Woman goes once that TV show happens.
I know. And you know who's doing it, right?
David E. Kelly, yeah.
So I gives me some confidence. But I think the problem with that is because they call it the small screen TV, and they're going to compare it to the original series.
Of course they
are. It's
going to
be the complete thing. So until they do something different or they can convince people it's better than the original series,
right.
You know, it's the jury's still out, I think.
I'm calling it now. Hippolyta will be played by Linda Hamilton.
Really?
It's going to happen.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that I'd love that to happen, and that's the way they're going to get old fans in as well as new, by at least acknowledging the previous. You know, like how Adam West played the mayor in one of the Batman cartoons that happened recently.
Yes,
you know, that's a great way to really get people in both old and new. So, let's give it a go.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
It'd be a lot of fun.
So give the website one more time.
SimplySuperheroes.com, one word.
Okay, cool. And, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing.
My pleasure.
And hope you enjoy your weekend here at New York Comic Con.
Thank you.
All right, and plenty more to come here from New York Comic Con. All right, we are entirely underway here on Friday at New York Comic Con, and I am here with the guys behind Mind's Eye, a series coming to the web very, very soon in November. And your name, sir?
Nick Montgomery, Director of Photography and Visual Effects Supervisor for Mind's Eye.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about the project.
Well, Mind's Eye is a children's fantasy web series. Follows one boy, Ilya, as he discovers a new world full of monsters, demons, angels that he finds himself at the center of.
Very cool. How long has this concept been brewing? I mean, is it something that you guys have been working on for a while?
Well, the concept of it actually has been brewing for a very long time. The creator, Thomas Gofton, it's a story from his childhood. From, you know, it actually came from his friends that he played with, swordplay and whatnot in fantasy games when he was young.
Oh, cool. Very cool. So so definitely a story that's had time to build and grow over the years.
It's definitely evolved, and it's, you know, gone, ideas within it have changed. And, it's actually, we've shot a couple shorts, you know, throughout the years on it. So, we've helped him evolve the idea, and he's, you know, developed it into a web series now that we shot this year, and it's coming out end of November.
Very cool. Short form web series, around how long do you think each episode would run?
Each episode is going to be about 5 to 10 minutes, about 7 minutes each, and they're about 24 episodes, so they're going to be released weekly.
Okay, so it's the type of thing that you could definitely, you know, sit down and munch on for a while, and then before you know it, you're hooked.
Yeah, definitely. When the whole thing runs through, it'll be about, you know, feature length equivalent.
Very cool. Now, what sort of equipment are you using to do this? I mean, is this, professional quality video here, or is this more like handy cam? Like, what are you going with?
No, this is professional. It was filmed in Guelph, Ontario, so way up in Canada, and out of a studio called Sin Studios.
Because all the best stuff comes out of Canada.
Yeah. But all professionally done. A lot of friends in the industry that we've known. We called in a bunch of favors and helped each other out to contribute to the project. So it's definitely our proudest work yet.
You know, I had a feeling it was Canada and some of the pronunciations on your words there, and I'm glad that I was right.
I have like a bit of a Canadian accent.
Just a little smidgen. It's not so much where like it's on a boot or anything like that. Sort of, you don't have to worry about that.
I just don't see the Canadian accent, eh? Like it's.
Well, I mean, that's when people come up to me, because I mean, I'm a straight. I've been from Brooklyn my entire life, and they say, "You have such a Brooklyn accent," and I reply with, "What?" You know, because you can't really hear it out of your own voice.
You know, it's funny you say that, because it's a lot of our, you know, we've got our whole crew down here, and it's really funny because a lot of our first time here in New York, and even, you know, when you hear the people talk, you know, the real people with the thick New York accents, we kind of think, like, hey, we've never heard this before. This is wicked. It's like, you know, this is from a movie.
We are actually all from a movie, just so you know. None of New York is real. It's just all a soundstage, one giant soundstage.
It's like the Truman Show. Yeah, we're just walking amongst it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's why do you think the Javits looks the way it does? I mean, that's the roof right there.
That would explain that light that fell out of the sky earlier.
Very cool, very cool. So how many episodes do you think it's going to run? I mean, is it a set to, like, series season type thing, or is it ongoing?
Well, the editing is still underway, so we've estimated about 24, 25 episodes.
Okay.
It should come into that, unless, you know, we decide, you know, what material needs to be cut or tossed in, or if the director gets some cool ideas to double episodes up and whatnot.
Right, and this is all streaming, or is it download?
It's all streaming. Okay. It's going to be available for free weekly because it's the first season.
Okay. And on YouTube or on your own site?
For the time being, it's going to be available on mindseyetheseries.com.
Okay. Cool. And that potential for being elsewhere later on, or just mainly from the website?
Yeah, if it's going to be streamed anywhere, or if it's going to be available anywhere, there will be announcements on the site.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds good to me. And the first episode comes out in November, yes? November 26th?
Yep, for the time being, there's going to be a trailer premiere at the end of October on Devil's Night. And for the time being, we've documented the whole production, so there's behind-the-scenes stuff every step of the way, so it's a filmmaker's delight.
Very
good. Come on there and check out how we did it.
Awesome. Just in time for American Thanksgiving.
Eh?
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us here on Comic Timing, and make sure to check out Mind's Eye. Okay, folks, first interview of Saturday here at New York Comic Con, and I am here with Andrew Czar of DarkBrain.com, which is webcomics and as well an audio stuff as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the website?
Absolutely. So what's really interesting about our webcomics is that we start with graphic novel quality art, and then we add voiceover and music.
Oh, very cool.
So it's a totally different experience for people.
So sort of along the lines of a motion comic without the motion.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going for more of a fine art area. So you don't animate that very often.
Cool. Yeah. Now, talent on the site, is it any names that we might be familiar with? Or?
Yes. Okay. One of our voice actresses is Tabitha Stevens, and she's been on Howard Stern like 40 times.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and then we got another one, Raylene, who's also very famous. And we added Tony Campos, who's the bass player for Static X. He's now in a band called Prong. And he's doing a detective for us. And if you've seen him, he's got a big bushy beard that goes down to his belly button. And I said, you know, you're going to play an FBI agent. I said, we'll have to trim it a little bit for the comic.
You should have him play Alan Moore.
I know, right? But when you go there, I mean, all the comics are free. So if you read Church of One with Tony in it, I think you'll be very impressed.
Now, when it comes to the art, any names on that end that the regular comic book fan might know?
Sure. We have Ernie Chan. I took him out of retirement to do a comic for us.
Yep. Very cool.
And he's proved to be way too fast. I had to slow him down. He did 4 issues in 4 months. I said, Ernie, I can't. You know, I can't.
Wow, that's like Mark Bagley style right there.
I know. I had the privilege of watching him in April at a con we did together. And I could see he could do a page of art in like an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just like, it's totally amazing.
Wow.
He's so relaxed.
He should do that. There's like an Iron Chef type contest when it comes to drawing.
Oh, he would crush people.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wow. And I see from here, everything's full color?
Everything's full color.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
We've got interesting new talents, too. I know people can't see it on the podcast, but if you go and watch The Butcher, you'll see Renato Camillo, who's a new artist out of Brazil.
Okay.
He's absolutely fantastic.
What a good comic artists are coming out of Brazil.
They really are. In fact, we've got like 3 of them, so yeah.
Wow.
But I got some from Hungary and from the U.S. all over the place.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Well, and I think what I really like about this is that there seems to be a nice variety of style as well in the art and from the looks of it, the subject matter.
Absolutely. Each series, we do 12 of them. I wanted to be unique and different. So that we try to go for different styles. I tell people it's kind of like Heavy Metal Magazine does a lot of artwork that is in that zone of what we're trying to go for.
Okay, cool. So superhero slash fantasy slash, you know, drama. You got them all covered.
Well, yeah. It's probably less superhero and more fantasy.
That's fine.
Well, I guess you can call Grace a superhero. There's one character I made for my wife, and I said, honey, I created a character. It's a thousand alien snakes ate a person and stole their memories. What do you think? And she goes, well, that's really cool.
That sounds just like me.
I know. She loved it. I said, I knew you'd love it.
Well, you really got to know a person well to know that they'll actually respond well to being told that you are thousands of snakes.
Yes, that eat people and don't even know that you're a bad person. So
how long has the website been around?
We opened up actually in April for an early release. Then we really opened in June.
Okay.
And then just in the last month, we've changed our formats, and now everything is free.
Oh, very cool.
So we've gotten a much wider audience since doing that. So.
Now, is it all just viewable on the website, or is it downloadable?
It's all viewable on the website. Right?
Okay. So no actual downloadable files.
No, not at this point.
That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And is there a mobile version for phones or anything like that?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well,
our stuff is way too big.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the problems that people have been running into when it comes to comic books, because it's very difficult sometimes to get that medium to fit right
on
a small little phone.
Absolutely. One good sample of that is we did some YouTube videos, and they have a really tiny screen.
Oh, so yeah.
I took every panel, we had to shrink it down. I'm like, can you still see the art? Oh, I don't know. That's all I can do.
Zoom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. When life gives you lemonades, you zoom.
That's right.
That's it. All right. Well, darkbrain.com is the website, and hundreds of pages of free comics. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're at like 260, I think, right now.
Wow.
You can sit there for like 4 hours.
Well, I will probably kill a Saturday on it.
All right. Great.
Well, thank you so much for your time here, Andrew, and enjoy the rest of your time at New York Comic Con.
Thank you.
All right. And first of Saturday, far from the last. All right, interview number two here on Saturday here at New York Comic Con, and I'm here with Dave House, a man with a very familiar name, but that's Greg House. So
that's right, no relation.
No relation whatsoever,
no.
Huh? That's a real shame. I'm sorry. And the artist on the project, Mr. Dave, he's the artist, you're the writer. There we go, Mike Desjarlais. I'm so backwards here, it's not even funny. And American Corpse. It is Corpse, not Core, right?
It is Corpse.
Good.
A little bit of a play on words.
Good. American Corpse is the title here, so why don't we start with the writer. Tell us a little bit about American Corpse.
It's kind of a super soldier program.
Mm-hmm.
The government decided to do away with it,
so okay.
They took him out. 40 years later, a little village shaman in Vietnam comes across everything, does a little incantation, brings him back from the dead.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. Really amazing stuff.
Wow.
He ends up coming back, you know, from the dead, and it takes place from there.
So is it more of a horror book, or is it more of a...
It's a superhero book.
Superhero book, okay.
It's a play on zombie versus superhero. Once he comes back, the government's alerted to him coming back.
Uh-huh.
As the reader reads the book, they'll find out why and how. They grab him, they pick him up, and they put him in a supergroup.
So sort of like a Deathlock scenario, I guess, to an extent, where, you know...
I'm not familiar with Deathlock, but okay.
Okay, well, I mean, well, Deathlock was this, you know, like army guy who wound up basically being revived, half-cyborg, and being used as a tool by the government. So,
yeah, all right.
There
Sounds
you go.
Good.
All right, cool. Sometimes things are serendipitous without even realizing it. So.
Understood.
Now, over on the art, I know there's a superhero book, but do you go with a little bit of a horror style since there is a zombie mystique to it?
Yeah, I mean, we want to play off of that. You know, on a first appearance, it is a zombie book, but it goes much deeper than that. It crosses a couple different genres. So we did want to give it that feel. But also, it's got a dark sense of humor to it, so wanted to capture that in it, too.
Okay, cool. And any like, war story inspiration in the art at all? Like,
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to look back to the Sergeant Rocks and stuff. You know, I mean, you can't do something new without, you know, paying homage to what came before you.
Yeah, because it's already there.
Right. And there's going to be comparisons. People are going to look at it, and they're going to make a decision based on that. So you have to keep that in mind when doing anything.
And I got to say, I love an indie that's full color, you know, because you don't always find that. And sometimes the art is a little bit lacking when it comes to, you know, just straight black and whites.
Right.
It adds an extra depth to the palette when it's in color.
Absolutely. And all the books we do, when we put out a book, we want to look at what we want to present. If we want to do a black and white book,
right,
it's not going to be because of cost. It's because that's the look and feel
we
want.
Sure.
And we wanted color on the first book. That's how we saw it. So that's what we went with.
Fantastic. That works. Now what superheroes do you draw inspiration from in your previous reading experience?
Hellboy is, you know, near and dear to the heart.
Uh-huh.
Batman. Anyone that, you know, not really. I draw a lot of inspiration from villains.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I guess it's probably an odd thing to say, but big fan of Joker.
Okay.
I don't know. There's so many out there. You know, it's hard to say.
Joker does like creating dead people. So
yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I've always loved those guys, and I love a lot of stuff that I've just seen.
Right.
You know, I'm not a comic collector per se.
Okay.
But I have no problem going into a store and just picking something up that I've never seen or heard of, and loving that character.
Now, was this story originally envisioned as a comic, or did it become a comic?
It was envisioned as a weird story in my head.
Gotcha.
I told Dave about it, and he's like, you got to do it. And yeah. I didn't know how to write a comic. I knew nothing about scripting. I knew nothing about it.
Uh-huh.
He kind of got me, you know, down that road, and I took off.
Sometimes that's really all you need.
Yeah, no,
you
know, I agree.
Write inspiration, and then before you know it, bam,
yeah.
You're in the business.
Absolutely.
So this is a preview for New York Comic Con. When should we expect the first issue?
December.
December, okay.
December.
And is that going to be in previews, or is that going to be on the website?
On our website, we'll probably have it as a digital download and print on demand.
Very cool.
We'll probably print some up and bring them to whatever con we go to next, and hopefully get some sold there as well.
Sounds good to me. Digital download, you can read it wherever you want. So. Nice. And that's what I like about digital downloads, to be completely honest, because put it on whatever you want, and then bada bing, bada boom, you read the comic. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
And the website?
www.bigbonestudios.com.
Bigbonestudios.com. And I kind of like the idea of that website, too.
You like that?
Big Bone Unite right there, yeah. All right, thanks to both of you for joining us here on Comic Timing.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. All right, and definitely more from the floor. We're back, as if we were never gone, here on Comic Timing, and the creator of Leaves of... I know I'm going to mispronounce this, but we'll try anyway. Leaves of Yggdrasil?
Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil. So close. So close, and yet so far. Introduce yourself to the crowd out there.
I'm Joe McGlone. I'm the creator of Leaves of Yggdrasil and the webcomic Beyond the Dark.
Now, first off, how do you come up with a name like Yggdrasil?
It's from Norse mythology.
Oh,
it is
okay.
The world tree in Norse mythology.
Well, that just shows how little I know about Norse mythology, even though I read Thor, so go figure.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell us a little bit about the story.
It's a coming-of-age story. I kind of went with... was inspired by, actually, some anime, like Sailor Moon and stuff, and I wanted to do a kind of a magical girl story, but with a bit of a twist to it. And I decided to throw in a lot of Norse mythology into it. A few of the characters in it. I have the two ravens following her around, Odin's ravens, Hugin and Munin.
Great,
and
Odin's raven! Sorry, I had to. Oh, Anchorman.
They're basically like the companion characters that follow around the magical girl, or they have like a cat or something else. I figured two annoying birds would be more fun.
Oh, totally, yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking to the right guy, because if Anime Fest was not the same weekend as this, I'd be at Anime Fest and New York Comic Con separately, but they're putting them both in the same place.
Very true. I was hoping I could try to capitalize on a bit of Anime Fest, but give me weird looks.
Well, what's so weird about this is that even though it's in the same place, they're still segregated, because downstairs is the, you know, the anime artist alley, and you go through and you see all these people that I would normally see at an anime show, and then you go up here and it's all comic nerds.
Yeah,
I'd love to see more you know, integration with that. I mean, with a story like this, you might actually be able to get both crowds.
Yeah, so I was thinking if maybe next time I might try to actually be more on the Anime Fest side as opposed to the comic side.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are some shows. I mean, there are some comics that I've read where that have actually, you know, gone to, like, say, like, for example, Otakon in Baltimore, or Anime Next in Jersey, or Anime Boston in Boston.
Yeah, actually, I intend to be at this year's Anime Boston.
Very cool.
From the Boston area.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so I intend to be there.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, it's a good show. I've been there a couple times.
Oh, I've been every year just about.
Regular
attendee. So.
Which means I very well could have seen you walking the floor without even realizing it.
That, or avoiding people at the plague as they get mashed by the oncoming traffic.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is entirely by you, art and story?
Yep, I wrote it and I drew it.
Okay.
I'm probably going to expand out. I'm probably hiring an inker for the second issue.
Gotcha.
I also do a webcomic as well.
Okay.
So it's...
It's difficult to manage time and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I work a full-time job.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, I've seen so many indies where, you know, like, one issue comes out, two issues come out, and then you never see them again.
Right.
And I think a great way to actually avoid that from happening is to have people assist you on the project.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do, is just, you know, keep the book coming.
Right.
If I have to hire somebody to do something, so be it. I mean, I already hired a person to tone the book.
Right.
All the tone work and things and color some of it.
Well, I mean, even from my flip through here, I do really like the shading on the book, because I was mentioning to one of the other guests previously is that I hate it when there's black and white books with absolutely no depth to them. You know,
right.
Where it's just like you look like that it would have been in color, but they didn't have enough money for it. While this looks like it's black and white intentionally with the purpose of being black and white.
Yeah, it was. It was supposed to kind of have a quasi manga feel.
Okay.
And I figured instead of going with a zipper tone look,
right.
I would get somebody to shade it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I got the full shading done on.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can keep that up with the second one, but the guy who I had do it is doing his own book.
Right.
So he could be a little busy with that.
Now, were you familiar with Norse mythology before the book, or did the book get you into Norse mythology? Norse mythology. I can't talk today. Jeez.
I've read Norse mythology fairly extensively since I was in high school.
Okay.
I had a mythology class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the benefits of going to a private school is you get a lot of weird classes you don't always get from the schools.
Nice.
So I studied it there. They only touched on it briefly, but it got me to go and actually read all the legends.
Okay.
And when I was doing it, I was kind of like, I like Norse mythology, and you know, I don't really like the way Marvel plays with it entirely. I mean,
sure.
Thor's not blonde. He's a redhead.
Yes.
So.
Which is actually what I like about the DC interpretation of Thor. When he showed up in DC Comics a couple times, he had the red hair. He had more of a familiar garb that you would actually see in Norse mythology. And he didn't talk in Verilese.
No, he doesn't.
which made me very happy.
Yeah, Thor's a big party guy. He likes to go and party hard and hit people with his hammer.
I can imagine.
When he shows up in my book, he will do that.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. So we will be seeing Thor in the book.
The lead character is his little sister.
Okay.
So sooner or later, he's going to show up.
Of course, yeah.
As will their brother, Loki.
Nice.
Hel's going to be making an appearance. Actually, there's a sketch of her on the inside cover that shows half of her as a skeleton.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is more in line with, again, the traditional mythology.
Sure.
And also, Fenris will be appearing as well.
Very nice. Now, is it available for purchase on your website? Or?
You can get it right off my website, fallmage.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can get it there. Also, I have it up with the Kablam people. You can get it through them.
Gotcha.
I prefer you buy it through my website.
Easier process, right?
Yeah. Well, I just mail it to you.
Well, there you go. Right. And is it available digital as well? Or?
Yeah, it's at the show. It's over at booth 641.
And it's available digital online?
Digital, not yet.
Okay.
I'm actually talking with Drive-Thru Comics a little bit.
Okay.
They came by and they gave us a bit of a pitch, so I'm probably going to pursue that a little bit to get it online.
Very cool.
And I want to see if I can get it on like the iPad and the iPhone and the Androids.
Sweet.
See if I can get it from there. But again, I have to dig into a bit more of it. But
all right.
Well, that's my goal.
Hey, man. I mean, you get there eventually.
Yeah, I hope so.
And give the website one more time.
Okay. You can get the, was it Leaves of Your Drazzle at fallmage.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my webcomic is at beyondthedark.com.
Beyond the Dark.
And it's links to everything off both of them.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing, and hope the rest of your weekend is as fun as it's been so far.
No, thank you very much.
All right. And we shall continue here on Comic Timing. Well, I'm sitting here rolling off the back of my tongue like a bad cough drop, apparently, with Everett
Source. Bad cough drop in heat.
Use the source, Luke.
Oh,
that was just bad. I know.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad even for me.
Hey, let's get married on 10-10-10. Come on.
You know, I think I'm going to pass because I'll have to go all the way to Massachusetts in order for it to be legal, and that just wouldn't be cool, man.
No. I've got Reverend Lopkin who will marry you, a nice Jewish minister.
Oh, is he familiar with Shlomo Rubinstein?
Probably. Such a deal I have for yous.
So how you been the last year?
Oh, my gosh. Well, other than this crap thing called life that happened, we got into previews with Sky Pirates of Valandor, the trade paper.
Congratulations.
Yay!
Woo-hoo.
Go to your comic book dealer and demand your copy of Sky Pirates of Valandor.
Demand it.
Kick in the door, demand your copy, and then run like hell.
Punch him in the gut and make him buy it.
And then run like hell because he's going to press charges.
Probably, yeah.
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 Oh, my. It's a madhouse in here today. Have you been on the floor today?
It is not. I've been around here. I haven't been next door yet. I'm going to do that in about an hour. So I don't think I'll ever make it back here after that. But,
no, just pack up now and carry it around.
Oh,
with you,
my
man.
God. Yes.
It's
yes.
not going to happen.
And to the fine sir over there, they're five for a dollar.
Yep. Five for a dollar, 10 for 15.
Yeah. I've been selling quarter books all weekend for those of you wondering on the show.
Come, get your comic books while they're still here.
This is the third short box I've gone through. Because I seem to be the only person selling quarter comics on the entire floor.
Well, I'm staying away from you.
So what's new with the book, man?
Well, we've got second series coming up for next year.
Very cool.
Issue one is in the can. Issue two is being penciled. Issue three has been scripted.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6 page breakdowns are all done.
Okay.
And we launched a webcomic.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, we're our fourth week into our webcomic.
Nice.
SkyPiratesOfAlandor.com.
Excellent.
Click on the pirate flag, go into the webcomic.
Okay.
Please, I need to pay my rent. Click on the damn comic.
Now, is this just one strip per day, basically, or?
No, it updates every Friday.
Okay. Is it a page or a strip?
It's a page.
Okay.
It's a whole page.
Gotcha.
It's a whole comic book page.
All right. That's good.
Updates every Friday.
Uh-huh.
And this storyline takes place 5 years before the main storyline.
Okay.
So it's kind of some prequels. It shows how the ship was acquired, how the crew got together.
Right.
We're going to introduce some characters in this series that are going to show up maybe in the third or fourth series.
Okay.
So we're going to also take place in a couple of other areas and work the two, kind of knit the two together somehow.
Excellent, excellent. So is this eventually going to be collected in it?
Yep.
Okay, good.
We're going to collect
good.
It.
Okay.
Basically how it works is once we're done with the series,
uh-huh.
I write out the script of 23 pages.
Right.
We produce it like a regular comic.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we have enough webcom content built up,
uh-huh.
we're going to expand it out a little bit to like twice or three times a week.
Uh-huh.
But right now it's just going once a week so we can keep up with the regular series.
Okay, cool.
And then once the 23 pages are done, we're going to consolidate it down to an issue.
So I assume that the increased web traffic, or at least web presence, is probably a good thing for the book itself.
For the book itself, yeah,
yeah.
Because on the website, SkyPiratesOfAlandor.com,
uh-huh.
Valendor spelled V-A-L-E-N-D-O-R.
Yes.
.com.
That's SkyPirates of Valendor.
Valendor, V-A-L-E-N-D-O-R.
Now they're just
going to be a link, okay?
Okay, there's a place called Google. Put it in there, and maybe you'll find it.
Okay.
All right, there you go. As you were saying.
There you go. Plug it in, people.
Yes.
I was screaming at people throwing postcards at them today. It's a webcomic! Read it! It's free! Your parents are too cheap to get you in here anyway. Here.
And how has reaction been now that it's in Diamond? I mean, has there been increased ordership? Or
what was that?
Has there been increased ordership? I mean...
Not through the web yet.
Okay.
Not through the web.
Okay.
We're still going from show to show.
Uh-huh.
But the trade paperback and the anthology of short stories are available on the website.
Good.
So you can order it through the website.
Okay.
I'm still trying to convince the wife to put shot glasses on the website.
Uh-huh.
So you can get your own Sky Pirates of Valendor shot glass.
Nice.
And maybe, just maybe, I can get the t-shirts up there. I'm wearing one now today, so.
All right. Well, that's good advertising.
Good advertising, yeah. Yeah, come and hug a sweaty pirate.
Sure, why not?
This guy's throwing money at you, dude.
That's I always like it when people throw money at me. That's a bonus. Yeah, go ahead. Enjoy.
Have fun.
I like money. And take a postcard, man.
Take a postcard. Take yeah. many postcards.
Yes. Yes.
I have to say I'm lucky. I haven't found any of my postcards on the floor
that's,
yet.
That's good. That's good. And make sure not to check the trash cans because you might be saddened.
There's a few people who won't go near people with postcards. It's weird.
It's a phobia. That's what it is. I mean, some people just have a postcard phobia.
Here, take my postcard. Take my postcard.
So anything other than Sky Pirates going on, or?
Well, I'm trying to launch another series. I'm trying to get an artist up running for it.
Okay.
It's going to be a pitch book called Hunter Red.
Okay.
I'm not going to like blather on about that, but it's basically the vampire apocalypse happens, so we're going to go on that one.
Awesome.
I want to do a zombie western called Dead Lead McGee.
Okay.
So one way or the other, I'm going to get some of these projects up and running.
Sweet.
And one more thing on the Sky Pirates Vale
uh-huh.
is that we got a coloring book for the kids coming up.
Oh, cool.
So Matt Ryan, I have to give my props to Matt Ryan. He actually did a great job on that.
Uh-huh. So you got a lot going on.
What
you
was
got,
that?
So you got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you keep it all, like, together, man? I mean, how does it happen?
I make a list, I write it all down, I give it to my wife and say, here, remind me of this.
That's probably the best way to go about it.
Oh, and I have to finish, I had a Zooda submission put together.
Oh, okay.
Before it self-destructed.
Before it self-destructed,
oh,
yeah.
My. Self-destructed, your opinion, did it self-destruct or commit suicide?
You know, I think it was a little bit of both, to be honest. Because, I mean, there was hype, but there was never, like, enough hype. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
no one followed up on it.
Right. And that can be a difficulty sometimes. Like, I mean, when people aren't constantly talking about your website, then it's difficult to keep it up, especially when you're a big
time thing like Zuda wanted to be out of DC. So it makes sense for them to fold it under the DC umbrella and just make it a DC, you know, web content or you know, iPad content and stuff like that. So,
but it's kind of sad because Wildstorm is going under, too.
Yes, yes.
And
their sales have been low for a while, though.
Well, no offense, and I can say this openly.
Yeah.
The writing sucked.
Yeah, that
does
it.
They took a great concept like The Authority.
Right.
And they destroyed it.
Well, Christos Gage did a pretty good job on Wildcats, at least. I will say that.
Oh, they're not yours.
But it wasn't my Wildcats.
Well, sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not, you know? But
you know, it wasn't the Wildcats that I knew of. They tried to take it in a different direction.
Yeah.
And it hit the skids. It wasn't groundbreaking. Well, it was like, why can't you make Spartan become like a you know, the Pinocchio syndrome?
Well, call it a failed experiment. So
yeah,
that's what it was, man. Definitely.
Let's screwed up characters make the best stories.
Right.
And The Authority, when Warren Ellis was writing it, was a bunch of screwed up characters.
Yeah, it's true.
You
it's
can't
true.
Get any more effed up than Warren Ellis's Authority.
Yeah.
But somehow it hit the skid and it left a nasty smear on the paper.
That's a damn shame, but sometimes shit happens, literally.
But Victorian Undead, that was a decent book. Now it's gone.
Well, it might very well return under DC. We don't know.
I hope so. I like the artwork on the covers. I like the storyline behind it. I think it deserves a reprieve. I think it should go into the Vertigo line.
Well, they said that a lot of the Wildstorm properties will continue under DC in one form or another.
Yeah, but they're not going to be... Okay, what drew me to the Authority, not only Warren Ellis, but it was freaking violent.
Yes, it was.
Midnighter would take people's heads off with a quarterstaff and not think it twice about it because... He's the Midnighter.
That's.
You know?
No, I know.
Do you really think DC's going to allow the Midnighter and Apollo, the two biggest Batman and Superman knock, to be put into their universe against their moneymaker?
You never know. You never know.
God, I hope not. You know, launch something else. Let Warren Ellis come back and revive the Authority.
I'm hoping that they'll keep it separate universes, even if they do bring it back. You know,
this whole let's bring back the multiverse.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well,
Bucket O suck. Okay, well, I'm done ranting.
Speaking of a Bucket O suck. No, I kid. Give us the website one more time.
Sky Pirates of Valendor. VALENDOR.com. Sky Pirates of Valendor.
All lowercase. Yes.
All lowercase letters. It's going to bring you right to the site. It's not Sky Pirates and Neo Terror. That's schlock. Put in Sky Pirates of and V, and it'll bring you right to the website.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, man.
Dude.
It's been a while. Glad to have you back on the show. And
something tells me it's going to be another while. Get off my show now!
Hopefully, I'll see you again next year.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And more from the show floor here at New York Comic Con as time goes on.
Buy it.
I'm going to kill you.
What?
I didn't mean it! Don't be angry!
And so we return here at New York Comic Con. It's still be Saturday, because I still be here. And Rick Silva is with us, and he's got three books that he would like to tell you about, and why don't you tell them about it?
Okay, so my company is Dandelion Studios. We produce Zephyr and Reginald Minions for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a workplace comedy about the supervillains henchmen.
Okay.
And the trials and tribulations that they're going through.
So sort of like The Office with supervillains.
Exactly. That's the idea behind it. Kind of a cross between The Office and the Justice League.
Gotcha.
And the these guys, they're out-of-work engineers who just happen to end up working for the forces of evil.
Okay. And they do so because they can't get a job elsewhere, or what?
Exactly. You know, the economy is bad.
Right.
And they have a unique set of skills. They have skills in nuclear weapons and genetic engineering and all these different things. Haven't been able to find work, so they end up working for a supervillain. The supervillain's a bad boss, but, you know, one of the lessons of this book is that the villain ought to treat his employees well, because the first villain in issue one, they end up throwing him to the wolves.
Yeah, see, watching the Venture Brothers, I'm well aware of the whole people working for villains, even though they really, really shouldn't thing.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they... eventually, the villain in this is going to learn that he needs to stay in good with his hench people.
Gotcha. And this is this full color or black and white?
This is a black and white comic. Okay. It's got a full color cover. We're on the third issue of it, and my wife is the artist,
Jim
Stella. And so this was our first project. We've been working on it for about 8 years now.
Okay.
It's been a little bit slow putting issues together, but, you know, we've had in between issues, we adopted our son and a lot of other things going on in our lives.
Gotcha.
So it's you know, you got to strike this balance.
Life takes priority sometimes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And that is available online? Or?
Yeah, that's available online at dandelionstudios.com.
Okay. Cool. Very cool. And so what else you got?
We also have a new line of fantasy comics we're coming out with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's called Quarterstaff Comics is the idea.
Okay.
And we have two titles so far. The first one's Perils of Picorna.
Mm-hmm.
Perils of Picorna. Picorna is the name of the lead character. She's a young priestess in a fantasy city, and she gets caught up in a political intrigue and assassination situation.
Ooh.
And is assigned to investigate... for a woman who's sort of the high priestess of her religion, that she's kind of a serving girl for this woman, but she comes from a rough upbringing and she's pretty tough, and they send her out to do some investigating, and she gets herself into more and more trouble, but, you know, ends up getting out of it.
Sounds good to me. And number three.
Yeah, and number three is Stone, and Stone is a fantasy comic also. It's a Robin Hood-style story about a band of outlaws.
Okay.
And it features a woman warrior. We tried to make the character a little bit more realistic. So she's kind of a heavyset, aging warrior who's a little different from what you see in the typical sword and sorcery comic.
Cool. Now, is this based in medieval times or...?
Yeah, both of these comics. Stone is sort of a medieval setting.
Uh-huh.
It's a setting where there are magical creatures in the land, but those are really the stuff of legends. So this takes place kind of after the kind of age of legends, but we have a lot of flashbacks to that era, and the influences of that era come in as the story develops.
Well, that sounds good. And these are all available on the same website or on different websites?
Yeah, DandelionStudios.com. Okay. DandelionStudios.com.
Okay. And are they available digitally as well? Or?
They are not currently available digitally, but we are working on that.
Gotcha.
And hoping to have an announcement in the next 6 months on at least something for getting some digital versions of them available.
Sounds good to me. And anything else you'd like to add?
Just that I want to put in a plug for my artist. Alice Veit does Stone. She's out on the West Coast and is doing a great job with this book.
Mm-hmm.
And Missy Pena does Perils of Picorna. And she will be at the Anime Los Angeles convention debuting issue 2 of Perils of Picorna.
Now, how did you get associated with her? I mean, I know living out on the West Coast and everything.
Alice, I met at last year's New York Comic Con, interestingly enough.
Gotcha.
At an event that was matching up creators, matching up writers and artists.
Oh, well, that works.
It was a really great panel, and I ended up getting a great person to work with out of that. Missy, we did it the old-fashioned way. We put out an ad, and she ended up coming to us via DeviantArt.
Okay.
And she does some really amazing manga art that's available. Her name is Zimmay, Z-I-M-M-A-Y, on DeviantArt, and she's in a group called For the Win, F-O-U-R-T-H-E-W-I-N. And so, and that's a really great up-and-coming group of manga artists.
Well, that sounds wonderful to me. And give the website one more time.
The website is www.dandelionstudios.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on Comic Timing, Rick, and hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for listening, people.
I am Dr. Tran. I have a PhD in kicking your ass. Get these orphans away from the chemical fire. Beverly, can I see you in my ready room? Eat a dick.
Hello. New York Comic Con.
Beat me up, Scotty.
Uh-oh. David Ryan talking before I tell him to, as usual. What else is new?
Hold on. Nick Fury's here.
Oh, nice. Everyone must salute Nick Fury.
I don't even know what to do, but Nick Fury, I know what to do.
So, the War of the Independence rages on, huh?
Yeah, it's back like a herpes sore.
It never goes away,
yeah,
right?
It's just back. It's good.
So, what's new?
I can't even tell you that.
Oh.
Everything's looking good. We got the alternate cover here. We got number one here. We got some prints. Yada, yada.
Yada, 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 yada.
Yada.
So tell people who might not know about War of Independence what it's all about.
And, it's a gigantic indie crossover. It's got everybody from Cerebus to Bone, Faust, Badger, Captain Canuck.
Ooh, Faust. Nice.
Faust. Yeah, I love Faust. And then, actually, most of those guys don't have their books out in print right now.
Okay.
So it's really about promoting all the new guys.
Okay.
You know, because the indie market's shrunk down so much.
Right, right.
I mean, you can't get the books that I used to be able to get when I was younger, like Faust and Badger and those guys.
Yeah.
And stores won't order them today.
Yeah.
So now you got, you know, Disney owns Marvel. And then you got Warner Brothers. So what are you going to compete against, Disney and Warner Brothers?
Yeah, and stand
no chance.
And especially with Diamond having a monopoly that it does.
Yeah, so I just gathered all these guys together and put it in one big book, and maybe it gets some notice.
Is it a way to perhaps save these characters and maybe boost them a little bit once
Yeah, some of the new
done?
Guys, yeah. Okay. And some of the older guys, yeah, actually. Yeah.
Okay, cool,
and,
cool.
I mean, it's a fan project for me, too. I love these guys. So
Now, with the newer guys, do they have their stuff out there, at least online?
A lot of them
do.
Okay, yeah, some of them are web comics. You know, the industry is changing. The internet has changed.
Right.
I mean, when I first started putting this together, it was just MySpace. There was no Facebook. So
What's a MySpace?
Exactly.
What?
That's GuySpace. So it's been great. I mean, it seems to me, I was just answering, I just did that CBR interview.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking to me about Kickstarter and how the project has advanced since I started putting it together.
Right.
And I said, it seems to be like, as the project started, guys started getting to know each other, like indie guys who wouldn't have known each other beforehand.
Sure,
the project.
Sure, yeah.
And then it seems the social network has grown.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can see me do this with my hands. I'm talking very Italian right now.
And that would be an actual social network, not the movie The Social Network.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So like everybody's, it's turned into a great community. Guys are doing crossovers. It's turned out to be pretty great.
Well, because I mean, what this is I mean, looking at it, it's like the the Busiek Avengers JLA crossover for indie, really.
Yeah, well, that's what I did this the other parody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's
looking pretty damn good to me, man.
It's coming together. It's
slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Come on, slow and steady wins the race, you know?
Yeah.
That's the old proverb, right?
Something like that, I don't know.
So what else you got going? Anything else, or just
I got a couple other projects I'm working on after this, yeah.
Very cool.
I got a little project called Smite Mites, which is, I'll show you, it's more of a, like, I don't really particularly draw that style, but it's more of a manga kind of... Eight-year-old gods. They are of all different mythologies.
Drawing manga?
Yeah, I hate manga, but except for collecting the book, then I love manga. Actually, here's some... I was talking to the guys at Funimation, the cartoons, and they came up to me at the toy fair and said, would I be interested in doing something like this for the manga and anime thing?
Okay.
And I said, well, that'd be super interesting. I mean, if you get, like, Pikachu with Ultraman, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, sure, I won't be able to draw it or write it because I don't know any of that stuff, but I'll publish it. I mean, that would be cool. I think that would sell like crazy.
Getting all those licenses together and under one roof.
It's Pikachu and Death Note.
Oh, my God.
How great would that be?
Well, no, my favorite thing is like in the Smash Brothers video games when you've got Pikachu holding a gun.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would do that.
I would pay money for that, man.
I would have a couple stipulations in every issue. A, someone dies every issue.
Yeah.
An atomic bomb has to go off.
Okay.
Which I have in my issue. Every issue, someone dies.
Nice. Give the website to the humans.
Just on Facebook. Or you can join the War of the Independence group on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, so,
awesome, man. Well, good seeing you again, man.
Stay true, Rohan.
Yeah. Oh, ho. You're back on the East Coast for good, right?
Yeah, I'm back. I get the herpes.
All right.
Yeah, back in
just like the herpes again.
Sat there for almost 2 years. LA, great weather.
Mm-hmm.
Ground shakes a little bit. But
now you're back in Snowville once come winter.
I came back January. I got sick the first week.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Yeah. Lovely. And I was up in Seattle when you came back.
Yeah.
So go figure. All right, great talking to you, man.
Too, man.
More from New York Comic Con to come, whether you like it or not.
This might be my first sober podcast interview.
Oh, wow. Wow. What, should I go grab some buds or something, or what? Well, he's sober here at New York Comic Con, and I'm talking to him on a podcast, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. J.K. Woodward, what's the deal?
It's always a bad thing when I'm sober.
How's the weekend been treating you so far, man?
Really good. I actually, an hour into it, I sold a piece yesterday, page 22 from Fallen Angel #1.
Very nice.
I was sad to see it go, but I was happy to get the money.
Aww.
So it's a bittersweet feeling.
So we're still on hiatus with Fallen Angel, right? Or are we back?
Well, actually, we just made an announcement at an IDW panel yesterday that there's another miniseries coming called Return of the Sun.
Very cool.
I wish Peter was here. He's actually sitting right next to me in Artist Alley, which is fortuitous.
We didn't
plan it that way. It just happened.
Very good.
But yeah, it's called Return of the Sun, and it's basically the son of Cain, who founded the city of Bet Noir, Enoch, is coming back to Bet Noir.
Uh-oh.
And he's after his descendant, which is Jude. And at I've only read the first script. Uh-huh. It looks like he's a nice guy and he's helping Jude, but I have a feeling, knowing Peter, that's not the case.
Yeah, you know, never go with the obvious when it comes to Peter David.
Especially not with Peter David. Yeah. No, never.
And yeah, you've probably learned from experience by now.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the latest collection for Fallen Angel? Because I haven't really been keeping track on the trades. What's been...
You know, you and me both, really. Yeah. I'm not sure. I know there was that big collection, the Omnibus.
Right.
I don't know where that
went. I don't know if they finally are collecting the DC stuff that I heard, finally.
They just started doing that. I heard about that. I probably heard about the same way you did. I heard about it online, and nobody tells me anything. But and I know Fallen Angel Reborn has been collected.
Oh, cool. Okay,
yeah,
good.
So there is a trade for Fallen Angel Reborn. And if you missed that, it's definitely worth checking out. It's guest stars Illyria from Angel. So it's a pretty cool crossover.
Well, I mean, how difficult is it to get a crossover like that going? Because, I mean, I know the character of Illyria was under IDW at the time, so maybe that makes it a little easier.
It wasn't really so much of a licensing issue. Uh-huh. And from what Peter David told me, it was this simple. He wanted to do this for a while, and he went to Joss Whedon, and he just talked about it, and Joss Whedon's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, that simple. I mean, Peter David's been writing the Joss Whedon characters. He's got plenty of experience with that. He's been doing it very well for a while now, so I think it was just that simple, you know?
How long does it take you to draw a page of something so detailed like Fallen Angel?
Well, to do the kind of fully painted style, it will take, usually anywhere between 12 and 20 hours. Like a splash page obviously goes quicker because it's only one picture.
Right.
But, usually around 20 hours. I'm pretty much in the studio all the time. I don't sleep much.
Lots and lots of coffee.
Yeah.
Well, actually, speaking of the splash pages, that's something that I wanted to bring up real quick. With the creation of digital comics and a lot of them being on very, very small screens, they've been saying that it might be the death of splash pages. And as an artist, do you feel that would be the case? I mean, do you think the splash pages are always going to be around? I mean, what's up with that? Because they're sometimes the most pretty pages in the book.
I think splash pages I definitely think it might be the death of the double page spread. Uh-huh. You know, like that, and that sucks for people like J.H. Williams that does those beautiful like double page. You know, I'm not even talking splashes, just double page spreads. You know, where you have those. I really hope that isn't the case. I hope they have they invent. Some kind of an iBook where it opens and you have two screens and you can have those, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the technology. We have no idea where it's going. Nobody would have, foreseen the iPad, you know, when they first started doing digital comics. We have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, we might have something you just roll out like a scroll. I mean, who knows? But I think the technology is still developing, and I think the art form has been here for a while. I don't think it's going to change just because we got limited technology for now.
Right.
I think it, as the technology develops, we're going to develop with it, and I think it's all a good thing.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to die is the button, apparently, because everything's getting less and less buttons, it feels like.
Less moving parts.
yes. And last but certainly not least, although there might be one more question after this, so I shouldn't have even said that. With the miniseries format, how difficult is it to get just jump in on a book like Fallen Angel? Say if you haven't been reading it up until this point.
Peter's really good at being first-time reader-friendly with most of the stuff he does.
Right.
I know this miniseries is going to be first-time reader-friendly. So I'm talking about the history of Bette Noir and how it was founded by Kane and stuff. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, don't worry. It'll be explained as the story is told.
That's good.
So, every miniseries he does, he's careful to keep it first-time reader-friendly.
Awesome.
So if you haven't read Fallen Angel, jump on. If you like it, you can go look at the back issues. If you don't, you don't have to. But, if you're curious about it, check it out. You won't be lost.
Fantastic. Anything else in the pipeline other than Fallen Angel for you, or is it just mainly that?
I'm simultaneously working on a project that hasn't been announced yet for Archaea, but it's a Viking story.
Ooh.
A historically accurate Viking story.
Nice.
It's not just the Marauder Vikings. It's actually... It's very much like, almost like Macbeth.
Okay.
It's a lot about the society and stuff, and the writer's obsessive about being historically accurate, or as much as you can be for a 10th century story. But, and it's called Saga. I've already done a 10-page preview that's going to come out in the next couple of months, so check my blog and stuff if you want to know more about that. But and then next year, around this time, we should have the full book, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be straight to hardcover and then straight paperback.
Cool.
So it's not going to come out in floppies.
Ooh. Hardcovers, 380, and the website.
Huh? Website. Well, I'm www.jkwoodward.com.
Wow, that's simple.
Yeah, that's really easy. And I've got a blog and stuff, but the links are all on my website. You go there and you start off. And, you know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, too, if people want to look me up.
Fantastic.
I friend everybody.
Yes, as I know from experience. And if you want to see his pretty, pretty invincible that he drew for me, just go to my Facebook page. Ah, that's so nice. JK, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
You.
And back to drawing you.
Next time, bring beer.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I want beer. As I move my chair closer here on Saturday at New York Comic Con, there's peanut butter in my chocolate. Andy Anatko is here from Mac Break Weekly and the Chicago Sun-Times. How you doing, Andy?
Tired, exhausted, overstimulated, but very, very happy on day two.
This place is overwhelming this year.
It really is. I mean, if you're one of those guys who has seizures because of too many lights and noises, my God, you're going to be dancing today.
You ain't kidding. So how does a show like this compare to a tech show? I mean, I know that there's certainly a lot more variety here.
Also, more women dressed as Zatanna.
Yeah, that helps.
So I have to give it to this show rather than CES.
So I know you've been into comics for years and years and years. What really got you into it at the beginning of your liking?
I gotta say that it really passed me by until the Secret Wars limited series, the first one from Marvel.
Uh-huh.
Chiefly because I didn't get a friend of mine showed it to me, and it was late in the series, and it's this scene in which Dr. Doom, his master plan has failed.
Uh-huh.
He is being literally vivisected by a supreme being.
Nice.
Layer by layer. He is like half skeleton, half intact. He is in absolute agony. And there's this scene in which he thinks, maybe this was a bad idea to try to do it. But he says, screw that. I'm doomed. The fact that I came up with this plan means it must be a brilliant plan.
Well, of course.
And then he succeeds. And I'm like, I want to know more about this cat. He seems interesting.
That's a reason to want to be Dr. Doom right there.
Well, without the vivisection, I'd like to minimize the amount of vivisection in my life.
Sure, why not? And plus, I think you have a nicer face than Doom. Most people do.
You're very nice about
saying
that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So what have you been doing around the floor mainly? Just looking at all the stuff?
Pretty much. I mean, I've had sort of a partitioned experience here where, unfortunately, I got the press pass for bad reasons because I just wanted to be able to get in like during the pro day.
Right.
But of course you realize that, oh, well, the thing is, when you're on the press list, your name goes out to everybody who's interested in the press.
Yes.
And I start getting emails about, well, we'd like to talk to like Comixology about this.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to talk to Wacom about their technology.
Yep.
And like, actually, yes, I would. Then the next one came in and, would you like to interview Stan Lee on Saturday morning? I'm like, if I have to. And so, so it was like all day yesterday was like business. All day this morning was business. And then it's just been like being a good geek for all afternoon.
It's like, please twist my arm. Give me an interview with Stan Lee.
You know how it is. It's like, I'm because you're here in this booth like day after day after day, and things that sounded like a great idea 2 weeks ago, and they're going to still seem like a good idea a week or two from now.
Right.
But while you're in the middle of, I could be home, I could be on my sofa, I could have a refreshing beverage that I paid less than $4 for.
I have never been out like a light more than when I got home last night.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm lucky enough to live in Brooklyn, so I get to go home and sleep in my actual bed once this is all said and done. But
well, that's not lucky, is it? I mean, I've done conferences that were in my hometown, and I like the fact that when I'm in San Francisco, when I'm done with the show for the day, I can walk two blocks to a bed.
Right.
As opposed to, okay, now I walk
45
four blocks
minutes
to the
on the
subway,
train.
And then, then a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm carrying like posters and books and like, oh,
well,
this
please,
did not
my girlfriend.
Well.
Got stuck on a train on the way over here. There was a stalled train in front of her. She was sitting at a station for like an hour until she could finally make her way over here.
Oh, man.
And on second thought, maybe a hotel might be a good idea.
Exactly. Especially if you're dressed like Thor.
Yes. What's been your favorite cosplay so far, actually, on the floor?
Collectively, I'd have to say Zatanna.
Yes.
I was surprised by how many people are dressed as that character today. There is an absolute lip. Absolutely epic Asgardian quintet with Thor, the Warriors 3, and Lady Sif.
Oh, my God.
As the way that... Well, the Thor is the modern Thor, but the rest of them seem to be based on Walt Simonson. And it's like, I'm not even going to worry about asking them to stop for a picture. I'm guessing that's the reason why they showed up dressed like that.
Well, one of my favorite moments was actually being able to meet Walt Simonson just once, okay?
Because, and he's fantastic.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's such a nice guy. And him and Louise, like, together in the same room, the stories that they tell are, like, years and years and years of comic book history right there, right in front of you. It's amazing.
Yeah. And also, we've been complaining about going to these shows just as regular attendees.
Right.
Can you imagine when being someone of his status and attracting that much attention with so many people who want some of his time?
Oh, sure.
Just 3 seconds. And treating, and I mean, you and I have both had this experience where it's like he was looking forward to seeing personally you
right.
at this show.
Right.
And he will treat as though you're certainly not wasting his time. Thank you very much for saying that. Why, yes, I can draw Thor in your sketchbook. And my goodness, his brain is like at least 8 times better than mine because I could never do that.
Oh, sure. And even hearing the words, will you draw Frog Thor, and him saying yes is just heaven. It truly is. Well, thank you very much for taking some time out of your schedule here to join us here, even if you are just walking around and having a good time. But where can they find you on a regular basis, of course?
Obviously, my column is in the Chicago Sun-Times about 5 or 8 times a month. Mm-hmm. Including online, but if you go to my website, The Celestial Waste of Bandwidth,
yes.
at cwob.com, mm-hmm. you'll find links to my blog, my email, my Twitter, my Flickr, all kinds of cool stuff.
I'm having cognitive dissonance actually seeing you not on a Skype screen for once, because on a regular basis, I have MacBreak Weekly on in the background while I'm at work, and I'll occasionally, you know, flip by, and there you are, you know, stutter stop, but in your yard, you know, and here you are in person. So, funny how the world works sometimes.
You know, dreams can come true. Not today and not now. But
yeah, but eventually they
After
do.
You're depressed about how poorly the interview with me went, at least know that your future dreams will certainly play out.
Thank you very much for that, Andy. All right, more here from Comic Timing and New York Comic Con to come. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Everything's fucking wonderful!
And the day here continues at New York Comic Con, trying to get as much in as possible because I ain't here on Sunday. And I have found an old friend here in Artist Alley, Mr. Doug Bratton. Hi, Doug.
How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's the weekend been treating you here in New York, man?
Very good. Actually, I wasn't here yesterday.
So okay,
today's
okay.
my first day, but I'm here at the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art table.
Yes.
Helping promote Mocha, because unfortunately there are people out there who don't know that there's an awesome comic and cartoon art museum in Manhattan, and it's just a fantastic resource. And they let me come and sit with them to promote and sign for my upcoming book.
Very cool, very cool. And the upcoming book? Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah. It's called The Deranged Stalker's Journal of Pop Culture Shock Therapy.
Very nice.
And it's being published, the release day is November 2nd,
uh-huh.
by Andrews McMeel Publishing, which people probably know from, like, Calvin and Hobbes and Farside.
Right,
and,
right,
all of those.
Sure, sure.
But the book is actually, it's a combination kind of best of collection of the comic, but it's also a humor book, and it's written as if a deranged stalker started, like, ripping out my comics out of the newspaper and making crazy notes and sending crazy emails, and it's a lot of fun.
That's a nice take on it,
yeah.
right there. I mean, really, like, you're getting an entirely new perspective on pop culture.
Exactly.
Shock.
Yeah, definitely.
How long have you been working on this?
I've been working on the book for the past year.
Okay.
But it collects comics for the comic, you know, has been out for 8 years, but
right. Right.
this collects various ones from probably the past 6 years.
Very cool, very cool. And it's good that you're here at the Mocha table, because after all, that is where we met.
Yes, that is true.
We're our long-distance affair.
We've come a long way.
Yes, I know, truly, truly. And what's great about Mocha is that, I mean, I absolutely love the exhibits that go on there. And I was actually there for the NotCon for San Diego Comic-Con.
With
Jamal Igle through,
yep.
which was a barrels of fun.
Very cool. Good times.
I love that exhibit that they had up there with all the different. You had a piece on the wall as well.
Yes. Yeah. It was part of the Neo Integrity.
Yes.
Show.
There you go.
I think right now they just started an Al Jaffe exhibit,
uh-huh.
which should be really cool. And I think they have a Dr. Seuss one coming up in a couple of months. So,
very cool.
Yeah, and they're actually really kind enough to. They're hosting my book release party in November.
Okay.
So if any of your listeners are interested in checking it out in New York, they can go on Facebook, look up Pop Culture Shock Therapy, and we're posting info about the party in November. It's either the 16th or the 18th.
Cool.
It's the Thursday.
Well, everyone's on Facebook, including their mothers.
Yes, that's
so
true.
I'm sure
unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. Trust me. I love having to put my father in a filter so
yes.
he can't see anything I say.
Dude, don't friend your mom. This is my word of advice to the listeners, okay? Don't do it.
So what else is new with Pop Culture Shock Therapy? Still coming out every day?
Yeah, it's still a daily comic. It's
awesome.
In about 50 college papers. And
very nice.
Let me me see, what else can I? Oh, I definitely have an iPhone app coming out.
Okay.
But I don't have a release date. It's supposed to come out sometime in November to coincide with the book.
Cool, And the website itself is still easy to browse on any web browser.
Archives, popculturecomics.com.
Still send them out in emails and all that, as I know by getting them in my inbox every day.
Absolutely.
And laughing. So, good times. And the website, at least once for the people,
is popculturecomics.com. Comics, CS, not X.
Because who needs an X?
Yeah.
Really? Come on. Well, thanks so much for joining us here, man. I'll see you at Mocha. That much is a given.
Definitely.
And look forward to the book, people.
Awesome.
It should be great from the mind of a serial killer.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And New York Comic Con continues.
Who's that?
The ghost lives. Oh, my God. The ghost lives. One.
This is like the fifth podcast that I might want to be on. I'm joking. This is one of the first podcasts I've been hitting up here.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, and what about the fact that I only seem to see you at New York Comic Con, even when there's a year and a half in between them? What's up with that?
Well, what's up with that? I'm finishing J school.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost done, so you could see me outside.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think you know, but I'm actually, my assignment is to write on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I managed to, like, weasel my way into, like, a free convention.
That's pretty cool.
I haven't paid for Comic-Con since year one.
That's pretty much where I've been, too. I mean, other than that first year where I think I paid the first year.
The first year, yeah. I actually stood outside in the cold with Jim Lee.
I was here that first year sitting downstairs in the cafeteria watching Dan DiDio unable to get in because of the fire marshals.
Yeah, I know.
That was good times, man.
but look how it's grown. I mean, I had to elbow my way into this room.
Yeah, well, this is huge. I mean, literally the entire convention center except for Hall B, which I guarantee you next year they will have. And Chris mentioned this, and I'm calling it. 4 days next year. You want
to
bet?
It has to be 4 days.
Yeah.
There's no way you could see everything at this convention.
I know.
3 days.
Dude, I've been stuck behind this booth most of the time. I'm first heading over to the other side. Like, I'm going to walk the hall in like an hour.
It's not going to happen.
I know.
You're going to get stuck by the Midtown booth.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
The Midtown booth, the line, I wanted to pick up some books because 25% off.
Uh-huh.
Good luck. It's like a 40-minute wait.
Well, I mean, I shopped in Midtown last week anyway at Big Apple because they had a 50 Cent booth set up, which was pretty good. But you got a bunch of issues of Air. I got a bunch of issues. I got this, like, DC 1 million that I never even knew came out with, like, Young Heroes or something like that.
What?
Yeah, I know. It was, like, all the youth heroes of the DC 1 million universe. I had no idea it ever existed.
Is it good?
I haven't read it yet. It looked cool. I mean,
that's the problem with 50 Cent books. You buy them in bulk, and you're like, I'll get to them.
Hey, that's a good thing, though, because my quarter bin's been going, like, mad. This is the third fill-up.
Third stack. I made the mistake of reorganizing my comic book collection.
Oh, yeah?
I was consumed for 4 weeks.
Yeah, and then you fell under a stack and they couldn't find you, right?
No, you don't know what's weird? I have so many doubles
uh-huh.
that I don't remember purchasing.
Yeah. Well, that happens to me sometimes because sometimes I'll forget that I got it from DCBS and I'll go to the store and buy it and then it'll come. That happened with Chris in Ex Machina, the last issue of Ex Machina. She didn't notice she ordered it. She went to the store and got it. She got it in the mail. She got pissed.
You know what's weird? I recently returned to my job.
Uh-huh.
And the UPS guy goes, what happened to all your comic books? And I go, I haven't ordered comic books in about a year.
Wow.
He goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? I go,
nice.
Why are you accosting me? What's the matter?
I don't know.
And he goes, because you would get it, and I would be excited because you would tell me the next week what happened. And I go, oh.
That's how he would keep up without paying.
He would keep up without paying.
Right.
I was his personal Wikipedia
for comics.
That's
beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, so how are you going to make up for not reading comics for a year? I mean, I have to
read in trades.
All right.
And catch up.
Yeah. Well, that's the game that most people have to play, you know?
But you know what? It's a wonderful thing to be here and see so many people.
Yeah.
Of different walks of life.
Oh, totally.
I was talking with Jim about this.
Uh-huh.
You got the Anime Fest,
mm-hmm.
and all the people, the Martian Successor and the Desco crew that I saw downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the Inuyashas, and then you got your Django Fetts, and you have your Dark Phoenix and your Phoenix, and they're intermingling and they're getting along. No one's calling each other Narutard. You know, you're just kind of existing, and it's wonderful. I find it wonderful.
It still feels a little bit segregated, though, because of the fact that Artist Alley for anime is downstairs, and like the panels for anime are on one side and the comics are like totally on the opposite side. Like that, there is a little bit of segregation going on, but up here there is a lot of intermingling going on. So I know for a fact that there are comic book people that would not even touch the anime artist alley like at all.
I didn't even know there was an anime artist alley.
Yeah, well, surprise.
I guess I'm going to have to go down there and wrestle my way through the crowd.
WrestleMania, no, brother.
But what gets me is, you know, you got Intel here. You got you got Podcast Arena.
Yep.
And you got Artist Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Three very heavily trafficked areas.
Indeed.
You know, and it's just, this is what we wanted. We got it.
Yeah.
Suck it, San Diego. Fucking suck it.
I don't have to go to San Diego anymore. I mean, I might occasionally, you know, like maybe like once every 3 years or something like that, but I don't need to go every single year because this place exists. I mean, this. Yeah, the Javits might not be the nicest convention center in the world. It might not be the easiest to navigate, but the size of this place is now equal. Rivaling.
We haven't even expanded into the new building.
Yes, which isn't open yet, but... maybe
can
someday.
Can you imagine just everything on one floor?
Can you imagine
from side to side?
Can you imagine once that 7 train extension is open, man? And how much easier it's going to be to get over here?
Ridiculous.
It's going to make me happier. It's going to make me fatter too, because I'm not going to walk nearly as much. Oh,
and that's one thing. You know, all the con food you eat, you walk it off trying to get to the train.
I have not bought one thing here, and that makes me happy.
I bought a burger, and I paid $12 for it.
Oh, you're
terrible. And I go, this better be delicious.
Was it horrible?
It was okay.
Dude, you should have went to Five Guys. Five Guys is like 3 avenues down.
You know how far? People, 3 avenues is a long way. Right?
It's not that bad. Well, I mean, Adam and Comfort learned that because like when we told them that it was a 3-block walk to our house from the Newkirk Avenue station, they're like, well, we don't know if we really want to do that. And then they realized that it was streets and not avenues. And when they finally we took them to Manhattan and the avenue walk...
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, yeah. Because, I mean, they're over in the Hampton Inn on 39th by the Port Authority. And they got to walk all the way over here. So, it happens, man.
So what have you seen anything, Ian, that you, like, enjoy?
Well, the Artist Alley is amazing this year.
How's it laid out?
It's laid out... it's actually kind of, boom, 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 boom. It's all, and I'm doing it with my hands as if people would know. It's a lot straighter this year than it was last year. Because you remember how they had, like, that curve thing going on? There's a lot less of that this time. I mean, there's a couple of aisles that do a little bit of a curve around the circumference of the Javits. But it's the entire back of the convention center is just artists. And that's pretty damn cool.
I just like that. As hard as it may be to navigate because of people, the signs are big enough and easily readable enough that if you know which aisle you got to get to or an approximation, you can reach it fairly easily.
Right. And I love our location this year. I mean, right by the exit, you know, so we're actually getting foot traffic from everybody who walks in. They have to walk by here. You know, the one benefit about last year is that sometimes artists would just immediately go to the back and, you know, they'd give you books and stuff. But at least here... we're getting a lot more foot traffic.
And we're not underneath an air conditioning.
And we're not underneath an air conditioning. You're right. Yeah, yeah. I just wish there was more free Wi-Fi, but whatever. C'est la vie.
There is for the press people.
Oh, really?
Downstairs, they actually gave us a room.
Oh, yeah?
Where we could go and type.
Oh, nice.
And we have hardwired internet access.
I haven't even bothered to go down there. I probably should one of these.
You should.
Yeah, well.
And then you go, are you a press person? Show me your credentials.
Free coffee?
No.
Ah, damn. They do that at Otakon.
But I did get a chance to sit next to Matthew Brady.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool.
Who was typing away furiously.
But did you get to interview Andy Iannocco for Mac Back?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Because freaking Ian Levenstein comes and is like, oh, Mr. Andy Iannocco, what's up?
Andy Iannocco.
I love you.
Oh, God.
I love you on Mac Break Weekly.
That is not at all what I sounded like, and yet that's exactly what I sounded like.
Hello, Mr. Iannocco. This is Ian Levenstein.
Hello there. So, what was it like... when you were there.
You work at
B&H? Talking to the Leo Laporte.
When I was at B&H, were you there?
You go to B&H, okay? But you don't go there on Friday nights or Saturday because that is our day of rest. You can't even go to the website because our computers are resting.
They turn off their server farm.
Yes.
They call Wichita and they're like, turn it off.
Turn it off. Today's not the day to be using computers. It's our day to be sitting in the dark unless somebody turns the lights on for us.
I sound like the Stanley Experience right
now. I know.
Now.
It's like weird.
So there I was with Kirby's wife. So I mean, what have you been up to? I mean, what have you been doing?
I'm taking pictures, going around, stalking young ladies in Leia costumes.
Nice.
Which isn't that difficult at Comic-Con.
Very cool.
You kind of just run into them.
Very cool. Awesome.
But seriously, I've been going around to the Intel booth, looking at some of the competitive gaming.
Yeah.
And I went over, I danced the Michael Jackson game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like kicked ass. I got max score on that.
Yeah, I totally want to do. I totally want to go and do that.
Go
like,
ahead,
right after this.
You usually get two girls with you. So you're like, if you rock it out, you could get the number. Like
Daryl, I'm sure has done the Michael Jackson game at least once.
You're just assuming he could dance because he's black.
I am actually, and the answer is yes. He has the natural rhythm to be able to do things like that.
But there's some girls here. I might want to like, what's up?
Yo.
You want to play with my Hero Clicks?
Wow. That is back 2 years here, man. I'll play with my
but
Hero
that worked.
Clicks.
I actually started dating that girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it lasted about a year.
That actually worked.
That actually worked. If I see her again, I think I'd be like, hey, what's up?
It is hard to believe that the line, would you like to play with my Hero Clicks, actually worked.
You want to know how it worked?
How
many times did she come back to the table?
A lot.
How many times did she get out of costume and come and lay down on my beanbag?
I love that beanbag. That beanbag was props right there. Charlito from Indie Spinner Rack just put that beanbag chair down here, and it was in our booth for the rest of the time. It was good times, man.
Oh, man. I actually saw a girl dressed as Galacta, and I was pretty happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I thought I was the only person who read that issue.
I guess not.
I guess not, man.
So, any other panels? I mean, you said you went to the IGN Theater, right?
I went to the IGN Theater. I saw, you know, I got a glimpse of Trisha Helfer.
Nice.
You know, and as I was going, I was snapping away my pictures.
Uh-huh.
I was so lost in the moment that I didn't realize that my camera was pointing down. So I got pictures of my feet.
That's great. And how are your feet?
My feet are lovely.
That's good.
Except they're slightly swollen from all the walking.
So now that Raph is not here, that he's at the store, he's stuck at Midtown Comics, what message would you like to bring to Raph Suhu right now as he misses most of New York Comic Con except for tomorrow?
It's a real shame that I don't think he's really experienced Comic Con since the first year.
Not really, no.
You know, yeah. And he's been stuck at the store, and...
Daryl, get over here. Get over here. Get behind here. Come on.
What happened, Daryl?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Who did Raph make mad if they never let him come to the con any of the years after the first one?
Well, because they need their experienced guys at the store so that when people come over from here, they know what they're talking about.
Well, he needs to get typhoid or...
Typhoid? He already has... He's Asian. They don't get typhoid.
Oh, okay.
They got,
well,
like,
make up
chicken
something
flu.
Good so he can come to the con next year, because he got to stop missing this. This is not good.
It is a real shame. It is.
It is a bit of a shame. But
you know
but
what's a real shame is that
what?
We haven't really been in the same room since, like, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
I was going to say, man. I mean, like, other than New York Comic Con and that, you've been a distant memory, except for that recording that we did, which will probably come out after this.
I'm an echo.
Yeah.
I'm an echo that... I slightly ping your ears every now and then.
I was going to say, wait. You're deaf? You're Echo? By the way, where is Echo? Where is Echo?
I don't know.
Brian Michael Bendis, where is Echo?
She's in the Hell Avengers or whatever that
is.
Oh,
my God.
X-Force. She's in X-Force.
She's not an X-Force.
Yeah, she is.
She is?
Isn't that Echo in X-Force?
That's X-23.
There was a nice X-23 over there. She had a great ass.
Yeah, it's Psylocke. Deadpool, Wolverine,
could I tell you
Archangel,
something? When I was a kid, I had, like, the only crush on Psylocke. I was like, Betsy Braddock, marry me.
You know, she used to be British.
She used to be British?
Yeah, she used to be British.
Then what happened? She's not Captain Britain's sister anymore?
They decided that they... Well, I mean, how long has it been since she was British? Nobody remembers she was British. She's been the hot Asian for so long. It's true, man.
It is true, but...
So what else do you want to get out of your experience here while you're
around? I just want to see how many slave Leias I could sleep with by the end of the
how
night.
How many slave Leias can you fit? Does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah, you know, because...
Seven, because six of them, the bikini is too binding.
There's one and she had ink all over the place. I was like, what's up?
You know how you get two slave Leias to run away? You tell them you can move things with your mind.
You know this
They're
from
like,
experience.
You're my brother.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Oh, man.
Good.
Yeah, I love it. I look forward to starting to podcast again.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope Raph gets better and he could finally enjoy Comic-Con one year.
We shall see, man. We shall see. But
you know what? Let's go kidnap him right now.
All
right,
let's do it. Let's do it. Nah, instead, I'm going to walk the floor.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk that far.
Yeah.
I thought he's at East today. Is he at East?
Nah, he's not East. He's never at East.
He's never East?
Nah.
They're never going to put him where the white people are?
Where are white people at?
East. By Lexington Avenue.
Yo, dude. I mean, come on. Welcome back. Okay, that's what I got to say. Welcome back to New York Comic Con. Welcome back to Comic Timing. Welcome back to podcasting in general. Welcome back to comics. And stick around for a while, all right?
I will.
All right.
StarCraft discussion, we got to get on it.
We should, even though I've never played the game.
You never played StarCraft?
I'm not.
It's good because I suck so fucking bad. I could finally kick someone's ass.
Well, maybe we could finally do that Stargate Universe conversation we wanted to do.
We have to.
At the end of season two, maybe we'll do it.
You know what? It's such a short season now.
I know.
It's like, what happened to the good stuff?
13 episodes. That's what it is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? All right. Well, more from Comic Timing to come. I'm going to walk the floor, and maybe I'll let you guys know what it's like after that.
I love you.
He does.
So much.
He loves you.
I also like Slovakia.
Say what?
Slovakia.
Now go, robots,
all right,
comics,
okay.
Go.
All right.
I'm going to stand up and help.
Just so you know, we can't actually see your face in this microphone here as I talk to you here.
No?
In New York Comic Con, no.
Audio, visual?
Just audio. But we can deal with that.
For sure.
Tell the people who you are.
Okay. Did we start already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jason May, robot guy.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
So, robot guy, eh?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Robots.
Awesome.
They're the new monkey.
You know, people have been saying that. Daryl, is it true? Is it true that they are indeed the new monkey?
Yes, they are.
They are?
Yes, yeah? They are.
So what about robots in this book should we expect?
Well, this year, it's a coloring book.
Okay.
So you can just expect
robots.
Random images that came into my head as I was at my table.
For the kiddies. Or for the adults.
Either or.
I like them too.
It tickles the fancy of both.
Yes.
Daryl likes to color them purple.
Really?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Occasionally he mixes colors, but it doesn't really turn out too well.
Yellow
with crayons.
And blue makes green.
It can be tough with the crayons.
That's good.
Yes.
So what else you got?
I've got my robot mechanic book.
Okay.
Which actually I came out with last year.
Sweet.
It's my Halloween special, which works great for this show because it's October.
Right.
I got Joe Caramagna writing a story in there, which you can't beat.
Nice.
Sean Granger from King Tractor Press and Stephen Withrow. He does a lot of poetry and how-to comic books.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What's the website?
For which one?
Tell us all.
Well, Steve has Crackles of Speech blog on blogger.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cool. You got Sean Granger. It's kingtractorpress.com.
Sweet.
And then Joe Caramagna, you just have to go look for him because I don't think he's got his own website.
So you just Google him and whatever comes up.
Yep.
Make sure it's not porn and then
Caramagna
go for it.
Everywhere.
Or just buy a Marvel book because he's on all of
just
them.
Just buy a Marvel. Yeah.
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 Is he really on all of them?
Any book.
All of them.
Wow.
He inks them all.
So how'd you meet this?
The letters, the inks. Yo.
I have no idea.
I don't know. How did we meet?
I don't know.
Fake.
I try not to think about it.
Yeah. Fake.
So it was one of those dark days where
we met
on Vulcan.
It was rough. You know, no one else was around.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was a dark alley.
I settled. You know,
that's what we do.
Yeah,
we all settle.
Yeah, we do settle.
Yeah.
We do.
He was wearing that very shirt that same day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And tell him.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I make guitars as well.
Ah,
Daryl is
nice.
Reminding me.
Okay. Custom guitars.
Custom guitars, mostly cigar box guitars.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anywhere from one string to six.
So you could put cigars in them if you want, but
yeah, probably. Probably, yeah.
Probably wouldn't sound nearly as good.
Yeah, it might muffle the acoustics
a little bit.
But if you've got a pickup in it, you might not notice.
And your sketchbook over there, right? Yes?
Yep.
Yes.
I have two sketchbooks. This year I didn't do one, but these are two sketchbooks from previous years. And, they're full of robot goodness. There's actually robot shorts in the backs of those as well.
Sweet.
Hopefully I'll have a compilation in the next year or two.
Nice. And last but not least, even though people won't be able to go to it because this is a podcast and it'll come out like a week later, tell us about the Indie After Party 2010.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but...
Because I see that, like, it almost looks like your own, like
I know.
Card sticking out of there.
Well, you know, there's going to be a bunch of guys that I know. Secret Identity is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
wore the Independence.
Mr. Yes, Dave Mr. Ryan.
Yep, Dave, Ryan. Dave Ryan.
Mr. Dave Ryan, who we all sadly know.
Oh, snap. Piles of guys. I know Swazcast will be there as a guest, you know, hanging out there.
Very cool.
And, open bar.
And Gordon from Violent Femmes.
Ooh.
Which I'm excited about because I do.
Wow.
I like that band.
Performing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what I hear. Bogman and him, right?
Wow.
Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Something like
that. I wonder if he'll do his Gnarls Barkley cover for everybody.
I hope so.
That would be fun.
I want that to happen.
Yeah. Because Gnarls Barkley, like, a little bit better than Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Charles is going to hit some bad times.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to chill out a little
bit. He's got a comparable physique to you these days.
Well.
Really?
We all like a sandwich every now and then.
A lot of cheeseburgers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, cheeseburgers are good.
Yeah, that's good.
They're always good with bacon.
I know. Yeah. Wow, I like how this is flowing here. This is probably the best interview I've had this entire show.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah. See, that's how we do.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's how
we
roll.
That's the bond that we have.
Give your website one more time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
JasonMay.com. That's easy, right?
Yes, it is.
That's too easy. Make it harder.
All right, JasonMay.net.
All right, that's good.
Or JasonMay.org.
.org.
We'll go there.
.us.
No, I don't have that.
No?
.lee. JimmyCakes.com will get you there.
Ooh.
There you go.
Jimmy Cakes.
Jimmy Cakes.
Nom, nom, nom.
Like that.
Nice. Thank you, Daryl, for joining us here at Comic Time.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to this guy, Jason.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for interviewing me.
It's all good. This was an interview? Really?
I have no idea.
I
thought it was.
I have no idea. Woo! 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 Well, I'm here at San Diego Comic-Con East with none other than Julian Lytle, who is sketching his ass off. What's up, man?
Right.
Yeah.
Getting this money.
Yeah.
Gotta pay, like Rick Ross.
Gotta pay for your booth somehow, right?
Oh, yeah. That's done, though. That's over. I'm making it's nothing but profit.
Nice.
Going to Gecko style.
Get your Ric Flair belt.
Woo!
Styling. Profiling. You know, you make my work days sometimes when you and Pryor post that, like, Ric Flair video of the day.
It's all about a Ric Flair video of the day. What's better than Ric Flair? Nothing's better than Ric Flair.
I don't know. Maybe a little bit Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Even gold around his neck, Rolex around his wrist. Nothing in the world is better than Ric Flair, the greatest professional wrestler of all time. What's better than them robes? When I get me a robe, oh, I can't wait to come into a Comic-Con with one of them Ric Flair robes on the same nation board.
You will do it. You will do it. It will happen.
When I afford a robe, it's going to...
I like that.
I'm going to walk. The music's going to play. That's right. I will only bow to the real Ric Flair. I will only bow to the real Ric Flair.
Woo! So you got your reference there. You're sketching up a Venom?
Oh, yeah, Venom. And he's got maracas. He's playing maracas.
No Barack Obama in it, though, right?
Or, you know what I'm saying? It's Spanish music Venom. You know what I'm saying? Get his groove
Spanish
on.
Spanish music Venom.
Hit that reggae out there.
This was by request. This wasn't just you, right?
The request was just Venom with an object.
Okay.
So the object's going to be maracas. And he's going to be like, oh, yes.
Man, only you, man. Only you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, can't you see him? Hitting a little dance. Yes, you get, you know, get a fine woman out there, spin her around, give him a nice fine jacket, Venom dressed like Scarface. Wouldn't that be great? Venom dressed like Scarface, the white suit, tongue all hanging out.
We're great. Now I know what to get from you next con.
Venom and Scarface.
I haven't gotten anything from you since that Blue Beetle like two Comic Cons ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah. Back when you were still drawing with the yellow.
Yeah, I still get you some yellow in here. I got a couple different yellows in here.
Nice. So you've been stuck behind the booth most of the time, right? You haven't really had much exploring going on?
I think I got up to Gabriel Hartman and had to turn back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's as far as I can get.
Didn't even get to hang out with Dave at all?
No.
No?
Oh, wow.
No Dave Ryan in your life, really?
No. I hang out with nobody. I think I saw CGS guys once.
Yeah?
I see 11 o'clock guys. They come over here. They come see me.
Yo, my entire weekend was made. I got to interview Andy Anatko from MacBreak Weekly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was just like wandering the floor and shit. And CGS got him, and immediately afterwards, I'm like, please. And then Rick got him into the booth by giving him a Sprite.
Oh, who got some Sprite? It's right over here.
Yo, Rick, no, Rick's got a cooler, man.
Oh, man, why ain't he sent a Sprite over here, man? I've been repowered up like a Mega Man over this bitch.
He gave you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, all
right? Yeah, that was tasty.
Yeah, it was tasty.
But, yo, it's internationally known about me and Sprite. Come on.
That's good. Whisper's brother. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich and Sprite.
when you starve it.
Yeah, come on, man. Peanut butter jelly is Sprite.
It's the Sprite.
Yeah. Peanut butter jelly, that'll keep you going for the rest of the day.
So it's Sprite, keep you going for like a week. That's like asking Mario, like, do you really want a super mushroom or do you want some pizza?
Mountain Dew will keep you going for like a month, man.
I can't drink it. It tastes like terribleness.
It doesn't exactly taste like the Mountain Dew.
It tastes bad. It tastes so bad that in Mad Men, they talk about how bad it tastes. And that was in the 60s. Come on.
Yo,
man, it always tastes bad.
Man, when I took a tour of the Atlantic Avenue tunnel, like the one that they like uncovered a couple years back, there was this old like Mountain Dew can sitting there from like 1972. I don't think it had ever been drank, too.
It's right, because it's horrible. And it probably aged it to more horribleness. It's probably like the most deadliest poison on earth that you can just throw it, explodes, and like melts people's faces. Like RoboCop. Like the guy who get hit with the acid, and he's just walking like, and gets hit with the car and explode. That's what that Mountain Dew is. It's acid now.
So we got some pretty good responses on that Alan Moore episode, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I only heard like one that they liked it. So
Jim Dietz just sent a really long email. I'm going to play it on the next episode.
Oh, wait, I got to listen to it then. I got to hear what it said.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I said half the time. I just know I said it with Alan Moore.
You don't need to remember what you say.
I never remember what I say. When I put it on podcast, I just say stuff, and then it comes out. And people say, I like what you said. I'm like, I don't remember what I said. Other than I know I wrote with Alan Moore. He was right.
Yeah, you roll with Alan Moore. And it's Bentley, right?
That's right. He's doing wizard magic and stuff like this. Casting spells.
Man, that guy's got chipmunks living in his beard, I swear.
Y'all, I bet you now he got like baby treants from like Lord of the Rings. They got babies in there. They come out and they start walking around. They crawl and then they go into the ground and they grow later. That's what he is.
Nice.
He's the treant nursery.
All right, I gotta go catch up with Chris before she leaves me behind. Website?
www.julianlytle.com and ants.julianlytle.com.
As usual.
Same thing. You know my name.
Nothing changes. The world stays the same. Styling and profile. And
gold around my neck. Rolex around my wrist.
Why do I get you started? I swear, I always regret it. I always regret it.
I don't know why you brought up Ric Flair. You brought up the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
I just brought it up for Pryor's sake, man. Now he's going to be happy listening to the episode.
You know, I actually do know how to do the figure four leg lock. I can't put a person in the figure four leg lock. I can make someone tap out.
Enjoy the rest of your con, man. Have a good Sunday for me.
Too, man. Enjoy that wedding.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed the interviews, as I sure enjoyed, well, interviewing. That was a lot of fun, and big thanks to everybody who stopped by the booth during that weekend at New York Comic Con. I had a blast and can't wait for next year, and hopefully everybody enjoyed me interviewing them, because I didn't get any complaints, so hopefully that's a good sign. We're yet again sponsored here by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com. IDW Doc Macabre number 1, Steve Niles and Bernie Wrightson, 50% off for $1.99. Green Lantern Larfleet's Christmas Special by Jeff Johns, 50% off for $1.99. And Heroes for Hire number 1, 50% off for $1.99. Are our picks for the month, our review corner picks. And use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service, dcbservice.com. We thank you so much for the support. And we might even have a couple more interviews coming up as part of our DCBS spotlight over the next couple of months, as Cameron Merkler is being very, very generous with sending some interviews our way. So we'll keep you posted on that and let you know when that's going to be going on. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy part one here. Part two will yet again be coming out probably next week, and whether it's the full episode or the split episode, depends on how much I can get edited and whether or not I think you guys would have a natural split there between the episode or not. But I'll let you guys know when that's going to happen. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. They're graciously appreciated. And yet again, thanks to everybody for stopping by at New York Comic Con. Hope to see you guys in 2011. So for everybody who was on this episode and for the missing Rec Casina, yeah, we miss you. As always, there's always time for comics.